Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway at 1550 North High Street. Further details and showtimes online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto. This is Cinema Classics, and today we should pay tribute to one of our own, John Roger Ebert.
Oh, thank you. I so much want to sing his praises, but he's the one film critic that everyone knows, or virtually anyone who's watched any movies knows. This is a significant contribution.
I was, just sitting around when the news came over that he passed away, and, you know, I'm not usually moved by things like that, but then I started thinking, wow, you know, I used to watch that show when I was a kid on PBS, the first iteration of At the Movies with him and Gene Siskel. And even as a kid, I didn't know why I was interested, but I was watching that show. And I started thinking, you know what, I might not be a film critic if it wasn't for that guy.
I know. And I'm feeling his presence today with the two of us, Siskel and Ebert with the two of us. It somehow infuses the way film critics, when they're together, react toward each other. And there's a certain benign yet combative way that we do it that is successful for us. And I can't help but think it's because we saw Ebert, Siskel and Ebert, and Ebert, who did not like Siskel initially.
Right.
They were at both sides of Chicago.
Yeah, right.
And yet he found, and that he was, and Ebert actually was put off by when Siskel disagreed with him.
Yeah.
But he realized that this was good for the show.
It was entertaining. And it really, it became, you know, Pauline Kael, I think, made film criticism on a wide basis accessible, exciting. People wanted to read what she had to say. And she was impassioned, and she loved movies. And I think that probably after that is where you see, you know, people thinking maybe these guys have a show in them. Maybe let's take film critics to an even wider audience. Yeah. But combining those two guys and pitting critics against each other became a sort of blood sport that, you know, has been an entertainment. I don't know what to say. I'm holding. Cut all that shit out so I don't sound like I'm a retard. 3, 2. And it's become an entertainment staple ever since.
Oh, yeah. And you talk about Pauline Kael, who for me was the first really smart critic whom I could understand. Mm-hmm. She was able to make that translation, which I think we try to do all the time. Rather, you know, we're former English majors, blah, blah, blah. And I suppose there's a jargon that we could have here that we wouldn't be on the air if we used. So in other words, the thought processing of bringing that film home to people who aren't as passionate about it as we are, that's the gift that they had. And then Roger Ebert, for me, had that in spades.
Yeah.
I still go to Ebert after I've written my reviews. And you know why I go to Ebert?
Why?
I want to see if I missed some element of humanity.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, because the guy was in touch.
Yeah, he was. You know, I think he would be, he was probably dismayed to learn that his and Siskel's thumbs up system probably was the death of film criticism to some degree, you know, because it was so entertaining and because it kind of reduced Pauline Kael's wealth of ideas. And even there, you know, as writers, they're reducing their ideas to this thumbs up, thumbs down thing, which gave way quickly to the 4-star system.
Correct. That's right.
And then the 10-point rating system. I mean, it really did a disservice to movie criticism and the way the audience could approach criticism.
Sure.
You know, instead of people engaging with the ideas, they were really only looking for the thumbs up and the thumbs down.
Sure.
All the good stuff got lost in between.
I fought for years having a grading system for my reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then I discovered that it was not only a service to my readers who really did want to know on that scale of A to F where I stood, I also wanted to know where I stood. It forced me to give it a kind of grade because I'm an educator. It didn't come. But yes, and I always assume people will read my reviews to know why I get to that. And you're saying very accurately that for many people it was just the thumbs up, thumbs down. And this outraged even intellectuals or any people, sure. anyone who was loved movies.
Well, it's reductivist. And, you know, when I wrote for the other paper, we were on a 5-star system,
yes.
you know?
Yeah.
And that even dismayed me back then as a writer who wanted, you know, his ideas to be read and digested.
You know, he was the first film critic to win the Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah. Do you know for what?
For film criticism.
Okay, just a body, writing. His body
That's correct.
Of criticism.
For his body of
okay.
work at that time. May have been way back in the 70s, but that was amazing. Now, I've thought that much of what people write for a film, including you, is some of the best writing I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and read some of our really good reviewers,
yeah.
that's astonishingly good writing. Perceptive, not giving you the whole plot,
right.
But giving some thematic background and writing in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
So that's again why I like Ebert, because here's the man who won a Pulitzer Prize who can write. Now, let's just say this. I have a feeling Roger Ebert had a lot of staffers.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Maybe later on.
And certainly in the last.
I think I really never read his reviews religiously. When I would look at his reviews, I was kind of put off by them a lot of times because they didn't seem as rigorous as I wanted.
No, you're right.
My criticism to be. He seemed to go at it from a very conversational sort of...
almost folksy.
Yeah, a little folksy and stream of consciousness a little bit. And, you know, it took me years later to go back and realize the value in some of that writing because he was feeling it. He was feeling his way through his perception of the film as a writer and as a movie lover. And that's exactly what Pauline Kael did. You know, she was in love with movies.
Yes.
And she was in love with language.
Yes.
And in love with being a rigorous, critical analyst. And you know...
Sometimes we get very passionate about the films that we review, and when people talk to me about our reviews, it's never specifically about what we said. It's rather the feeling that we have brought to them
right.
over the radio.
Yeah.
And I've learned from that it's so important that we care about or don't care about the movies we review, and this comes across in the show, and that's what people will take away.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's that's
so,
great.
You know, if you're doing current movies, that's very important. They want to know, you know, what do you feel about it? Not what do you think about it? Da, 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 da. In the end, what do you really feel about the film? Hey, you didn't like that film. Hey, you really liked it, so I went to see it, blah, blah, blah. So that's what Ebert had for
but
me.
But isn't that why it's such a great art form?
Oh,
because
yes.
it engages your emotion just as much as it can engage your intellectual thought processes, you know? A lot of people disengage with that part of it. A lot of people disengage with the thinking part of
That's
movie
correct.
Going.
That's correct.
You know, great writers like Ebert are able to, they're able to lead the reader back through the movie, like with a trail of breadcrumbs, you know,
nice.
a trail of great ideas that interpret
sure.
the movie.
And they dot theirs with great ideas, and people pick up where they want to pick up from what they write.
Mm-hmm.
But I again would say that this is it's a holistic thing.
Yeah.
You come away and say, hey, Roger Ebert really liked that. Can't tell you exactly. Let me go back and see.
Right.
But I know that he liked it, read it, and what he wrote supported why he liked it. So
exactly.
he put it together. What a great business.
I mean, not only do I have to have Roger Ebert to thank for probably making me a film critic, but I also have to thank him for one thing he did years ago when Scorsese was in town having won the Wexner Prize, and Roger Ebert did an interview with Scorsese at Mershon Auditorium
okay.
in front of hundreds of people.
Oh.
The day before that, we had a little select group of nerdy film students, handpicked me among them,
wow.
to do a little Q&A with Scorsese. I was very excited to ask my hero why he has never made and if he will ever make a Western. And Scorsese gave me some BS answer, blew me off. I was heartbroken. I was devastated. You know, it was some nonsensical answer, and then he was off and running on the next tangent. Well, the next night, in front of the Mershon audience, Ebert started the interview off by saying, you know what? A young man yesterday asked you about Westerns, and you unfairly dismissed the question. And I thought, wow, now that guy, I love that guy. You know, he was a good guy.